He must be the center of our life. The nucleus of our life must be the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. Jehovah saves. He's the anointed one of God. The anointed one of the Father, the Christ, Jesus. So as we go through the account of Joseph's life, and we're getting toward the end of this account, we're going to see different ways than what we've seen before of how he is typical of the one that we love so much, the Son of God. We studied last lesson how he was put in the pit wherein there was no water, how that his brothers sold him to, of all people, the Ishmaelites, and how all of this pointed to the way, the plan, the decree that God the Father has set forth to save his people. It was all depicted right here in this story. And over we're going to find it. Turn with me to Genesis 39 and verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an official of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house, and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. All right, we saw in Genesis 39 and 1 that Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and an officer of Pharaoh's army, a captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him. He was a bondservant, a slave. Joseph became a servant here. It was a long ways from being in his father's house where he was considered royalty of the coat of many colors, the peace and the love that he experienced there with his father. Now here he is. He's a real slave. A young man. A 17-year-old boy who has become a slave. Potiphar bought him from the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down to Egypt. This points to, but in no way gives us a full picture of, what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. He became a servant. Until we look at who he really is, we don't get the picture of what he actually did. So let's think about this morning to begin with. He's God. He's God. He's one with the Holy Spirit. He's one with God the Father that created all things. We are told that nothing was created without him that was created. Nothing. He truly was, in the person of Jesus Christ, God himself. He certainly was royalty, wasn't he? In all of eternity, he had dwelt with the Father, his Father, God the Father. Now we see him afar off from the Father, the Lord that is, in a strange place, or the world, and we see him as a servant. He was God. He could have came here and been king of the entire world the day he was born. But he didn't. Rather, he worked out the divine decree of God the Father and the plan of salvation as a servant. All prophecies of him, depictions and pictures of him that are in the Old Testament were fulfilled by him. Each and every one. He became a servant. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God and made himself of no reputation and took upon him, this is Jesus Christ in Philippians 2, 6 and 7, the form of a servant. What a contrast. What a difference. What an amazing transformation he went through for us. For the divine purpose of saving God's people. What he did for us. Bond slave is a better expression of the word servant here, actually. In Psalms 40, we hear the words, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou digged, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Why did he do it? To do the will of his Father. Trusted and obeyed, didn't he? He did. That is why Jesus Christ came to this earth, suffered, bled, and died for you and for me. Because God the Father loved us from before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ has always loved you. He was being obedient to the Father. He stayed with the plan, unlike us. Huh? We're prone to stray from the plan, aren't we? But not the Son of God. Not the Son of God. We also see that Joseph was prosperous, wasn't he? First of all, let's see why he was prosperous. Verse 2, Genesis 39, 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. Turn with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. We sing this one quite often. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Who is it that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful? Who is it that delights in God's law day and night? We hope and pray it's us. But none of us can say that we're not sinners. None of us can say that we've never walked in the counsels of the ungodly. Not one of us can. So who is it speaking of in the psalm? If we walk in these ways, we will be blessed. That's true. And it is talking about us in that sense. But it's also talking about Jesus Christ. Who else was God the Father so pleased with that he opened up the heavens and spoke it for everyone present in Jesus' presence to hear, "This is my beloved Son"? On the mount he said, "Hear ye him. Hear ye him." Potiphar's house, everything about it got better. Everything about it grew and flourished. Not just the plants and all the things outside, but inside too. Why was Joseph blessed? Or I'm sorry, why was Potiphar blessed? Potiphar was blessed for the sake of Joseph. Because Joseph was there. Joseph being present in the house, and we just read in verse 2 that the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him, and all that he did prospered. And so again, we see a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. He walked this earth, and trust me, all that he did prospered. All that he did prospered. He came to this earth to purchase you and I. And he did it completely. Fully took our place. And the Lord was pleased with him, as Potiphar must have been with Joseph. It was not hard for Potiphar to see what was happening. It was easy. Even all the physical and natural things just took off after Joseph came into his house. So he put everything into Joseph's hand, didn't he? Everything into his hand. The Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. The Father of all heaven and earth has put everything in the hand of his trusted Son in the same way. Everything is in his hand. I said in the beginning, we must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ over and over. Not only am I called to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you're called to hear it. You're called to hear it. Everyone is responsible to believe in Jesus Christ. How amazing God's Word is. Believe that it's clear that the Egyptian's house, Potiphar's house, was representative of the world. As Joseph entered this house began to prosper. It began to benefit. And it the people there that benefited from his presence and all the things that he did so well, they benefited because of him. They were blessed because of him. It was for Joseph's sake that God blessed the whole house of Potiphar, inside and out. And so we see, as Jesus Christ entered the world as a child born of a virgin, that this earth was blessed because of his presence. He came to this earth as a little child, yet without sin. That's very important. He never sinned. He never desired to sin. Now, he was God himself. And clearly, we have benefited from his presence here on this earth. It was the price that had to be paid. Sin does not go unaccounted for. It never goes without payment. Because God is a just God. He's just. Sin must be paid for. So he sent his son to this earth, and boy, did the world benefit from his presence. And what he came here to do and what he did for you and I. All right. Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Again, a young man. A very young man. And a mature married woman tempting him. But we notice that he never gave in to the temptation. He was tempted, but he did not sin. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me, but because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Main point this morning will be taken from right here. What Joseph said to her, he said, "How can I do this great wickedness? How can I? And sin against God?" Oh, how this points to Jesus Christ, who was tempted. He was tempted by the devil all those days and nights, yet he sinned not. Well, could he have sinned? Some would say, well, he could have if he wanted to. But could he have wanted to? He's God. So I pose the question, could he have sinned if he wanted to? Certainly. But he couldn't want to. He was God. To answer this question, let's look at, well, where does sin come from? Where does sin come from? And we have to go all the way back to the beginning. And we see that Adam and Eve, being rebellious against God and wanting to be like God themselves, disobeyed his commandment. They disobeyed his commandment. And upon them was put a curse. And every human born after Adam and Eve was born with this curse. a fallen nature. A nature that already was enmity against God before you were born. You might think, well, you take a little child that's just born. They haven't done anything wrong. They've done nothing wrong. So, aren't they sinless, and wouldn't they be a accepted, qualified Christ for sin? They haven't done anything wrong. So I lead you to another question. Is that baby a sinner after he sins the first time? After he cries when nothing's wrong and lies? Or does he sin because he was born a sinner? And that's the case. We sin because we were born a sinner. Joseph was the other Joseph. Joseph was Jesus' earthly father, though he naturally did not father him. The lineage was kept perfect. And we've got it here. We'll put it back up one day whenever we get back to that. The lineage of Jesus Christ, it was kept uninterrupted, if you will, down to Joseph. However, God the Father, the Holy Spirit came over her, and she conceived the holy thing, Jesus Christ. So, Jesus couldn't have sinned. He wasn't born with a sinful nature. He's God. He's impeccable. The word impeccability or being impeccable is something that's so good, it's so perfect that you just wouldn't expect any flaw in it. You wouldn't expect any problem. It's impeccable. I mean, it's right. And so is Jesus Christ. He's impeccable. He was God. He truly represented the Lamb of the Old Testament without spot, without blemish. Remember? Not only did the Lord come to this earth and serve as our high priest, which he did, but as high priest, he sacrificed a lamb without spot or blemish. And that lamb was himself. Jesus Christ knew no sin, except for ours. He carried our sin. But he himself knew no sin. At the end of his temptation with the devil wanted him to worship him. I'll give you all this earthly stuff. That must have been really a joke. I mean, just think, everything was already his. I'll give you all these earthly kingdoms if you'll just fall down and worship me. And I like the way he put the devil in his place, if you will. He said, "Get thee hence, Satan. Get behind me. Thou worship nobody but God the Father. Him alone shall you serve. Get you behind me, Satan." He was in control, wasn't he? Of course, he was God. He allowed Satan to tempt him in the wilderness the way he did. And it was for lots of reasons. One of which, for us to see, truly Jesus Christ is impeccable. He's perfect. If he had wanted to sin, he taught himself that desire would have been sin. So that's why I say, he not only could sin, he not only couldn't sin, but he couldn't want to. Because he was born without that fallen nature that you and I have. Perfect Son of God. Perfect. He's the only acceptable sacrifice that has ever been or ever will be. Won't you trust in him? Won't you stand on the rock of your salvation? There is none other. There is no other way. Everything in salvation, everything in life, everything in creation, everything in this blessed book revolves around the perfect Son of God, the Lamb without spot or blemish.